I don't think they reached.
Okay, I don't think it then yet it would have been. Yeah. Anyway, there was some idea that they were going to revote, but as it stands now, they're out. But it doesn't sink the bond, so it looks like the bond's going to move forward, for better or for worse. But at least the voters get a chance to vote on it, which I think is important. We did pass the gave the bonding authority the city has to do to parks for to use their portion of the meals tax for do you call it a new pool or do you call it a rehabilitation?
It's a new pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a new pool. And I think that's really exciting news. It's not going to cost the taxpayer a single cent more. Unless, like I said last time, unless you have the recession burger at Louis or a drink Louis. I think it's an exciting time. I think there was a lot of public support for that, and it was great to have a city council meeting where people came out in favor of something as opposed to somebody coming out and being against. So City Hall is moving forward. I can't remember what I covered this last time or not, but anyway, we are definitely moving forward on City Hall. It's going to stay on the same site, and there's probably a 90, the numbers are coming back, but there seems to be about a 90% chance that it's going to be knocked down and rebuilt. To try to hollow that that shell of a building that's been layered upon layered upon layered over the years and reconstituted the inside of it just to keep the look that it has now, which is not the original look, is becoming apparent to folks that that's not the way to go. And it's also not the cost. It's going to be more expensive to do it that way. And you get less bang for the buck. You get less ability to recreate the infrastructure and so on. Most everyone is committed to have it look like the old City Hall. And if you've seen pictures, it's pretty cool. It's an old brick building is what it is. So it's going to definitely, I think, fit in better than the shoebox that we have there right now. At least that's my personal opinion. So anyway, but we're definitely moving forward on that, which leads me to, people are probably saying, some people here are probably saying, in the back of your mind is, so where's that money going to come from? I don't know if I like the look on your face, Mr. Stolz.
No, I'm thinking a step before you. I'm thinking if they're spending money on that, we're going to get it. Chunk of it.
Yeah. So there's two groups that came out of this budget process. There's an official ad hoc committee that looks at the cost containment side of city operations. Cost reduction. That's a formal group that is has to notice their meetings and do the quorums and do city the whole process of the open meeting laws. And they're moving forward. I'm not part of that group, but there are several councilors that are on that group, and they are definitely doing some good work. The other group is a little controversial. The mayor has developed what he calls a working group. Some would call it a kitchen cabinet. It's a group of about four or five. There's a city administrator in there. There's a former mayor in there, who we'll name shortly. And Tonya Graham is in there. And they have set it up, and they've actually been challenged on it, but they have jumped through the legal hoops necessary that they don't have to be an official group that responds to open meeting laws. And so they meet privately. And they're trying to figure out how to increase revenue, and what they're really headed towards is a facilities revenue bond in May, to put on the ballot in May. There are a couple of big AFN and one other big bond measure, sundowns, either next year or the following year, it goes away. So ideally, this revenue measure will replace existing property tax liabilities so that you will see very little increase in your property tax. That's the goal. It's a facilities bond that will include City Hall. At some point, it might include, they don't want to make a whole laundry list of stuff, but they're going to call it just a general facilities bond, but I think it might include, it's still a work in progress. community center, Pioneer Hall, City Hall, and possibly some other things. So that group is working very hard. Part of that group is former Mayor Kathy Shaw, who is lending her considerable electoral expertise to try to get that passed in May. So we'll see how that goes. Part and parcel of that, there's a lot of interesting, a lot of moving pieces right now, is the charter amendment. Raise your hand if you have heard about the proposed charter amendment. Okay. So the new charter amendment is brought forth by a group. It's not a new idea. Bill Hyman is kind of the point of the spear on this, but a considerable number of folks in town, former city manager, administrators, counselors, other significant citizenry, is in support of this charter amendment. And what it is it replaces our current form of government with what they call a strong mayor. There's a number of names for it. Strong mayor with a city manager type of administration. That city manager style, believe me, I don't want to go into it now, but you're going to hear plenty about it, and you're going to be aware of all the nuances. But I would just go so far as to say that probably 98% of the municipalities in the state of Oregon have a city manager style of municipal governance. Ashland and I think Beaverton are the only two towns that have this other style. And Beaverton right now is taking a very strong look at that.
What do we call the other style?
The strong mayor, then it would be a city manager style, or I don't think they go so far as to say weak mayor, but in a nutshell, it's where the city manager is essentially the CEO of the city, and it has the power to, with the council's approval, not necessarily the mayor, but with the council's approval, to hire and fire department heads. As it sits now, the mayor has a lot of authority over the hiring and firing of department heads and some other kinds of things that gives the city administrator a lot of responsibility, but gives the city administrator about half the authority. And what it does is it evens that out. Has the responsibility, but also has the authority. So it's recommended by the League of Oregon Cities, and it's really recommended all across the board. And there's only several significant folks who are opposing this, and I'm sure that'll come out as the months proceed. So what this does is it really kind of jams up the May ballot, because the charter amendment is coming on there, and then the revenue bond is supposedly going to be coming on there too. And of course, that's a primary ballot. And then we have the November election, which is going to be jammed up with all kinds of stuff, both nationally and locally and so on. So make sure you have your ballot pencils sharpened and your voter registration organized so you can participate. That's about all the big hitter stuff. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Does that mean that if there's a strong mayor, the city council is less strong?
With the system we have now, it does in a way. The mayor is able to take what I would call independent action. In many cases, it is approved by the city council, but it's done like after the fact, in a way. And in many cases, the mayor takes an action. It would be very unusual for the city council to garner enough, number one, interest, and number two, votes to countermand. The structure is set up for a strong mayor, and if a mayor operates within that structure, that's kind of the juggernaut that moves forward. And it's hard to counteract that, even though the council does have ultimate authority, but it's not very often exercised. With this other system, the mantle of how the city runs sits pretty much. Council sets policy, the city manager runs the day-to-day operations with full authority and full responsibility.
And the city manager would be appointed by mayor or by
council?
Voted?
By council, for sure.
Okay, so this new form takes a little bit of the hands-on control out of the citizens. We don't get to vote for we vote for the mayor, but the city manager is appointed.
But you also vote for councillors. You know, you definitely vote for councillors.
Right,
So that's, and the councillors, you know, the city manager is an at-will employee, and if the contracts are written, according to how most contracts are written, it'd be like, you know, if it's not doing the job, it's like, you know, there's hopefully no million-dollar buyouts and, you know, like they do professional sports, or coaching, the coaching world.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I served on the Architectural Commission in Claremont in Southern California that operated with a city manager, and there was a change from the strong mayor to city manager while I was part of that city family. And for all the reasons you've just outlined, where the city manager is an at-will employee appointed by the council, it's a excellent system of city government. Mike?
Yes, so the mayor has veto power now. Does that go away with that change in government?
That's a good question. I would suspect that it would. I don't know that. That's a good question. I don't know that. Now, I am going to go with, because it's going to come out, I'm going to say it. I'm pretty certain that our current mayor would not support this charter amendment. And I know that Kathy Shaw has definitely already come out publicly against it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big time. So, and so is Eric Navikas, or whatever that's worth.
Not much.
Two votes.
It'll be interesting to see the constituencies that those individuals gather to support their.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, there's already some strange. I won't go into it, but you'll see it unfold. There's already some strange. Can you say bedfellows? How do you say bed?
Go for it.
Bed partners. I've already made sure there's some strange bid partners already, so it's funny how these coalitions come and go.
Going to add to the interest.
Yeah.
Get more interest in public elections or not.
One last question, please.
Yes.
When does the new building get made?
Well, we've got to pass a bond measure first. And here's the deal. If the bond measure doesn't pass for this thing, Kelly and the mayor and the city council already have kind of a drop dead backup plan. We are enormously liable if we keep operating in that hall without a specific plan to move forward. That they're going to move, they'll move out to East Main or double up in this building or rent a building or whatever until they can do some. There is a considerably less expensive plan. They can go in there, they can repair the roof, and they can do some weird interior retrofits with some steel and some concrete, you know, to try to shore it up. But that would be, I mean, it seems inconceivable to me that this town would go for something like that. But the long and short is, if the bond doesn't pass, they've got to scare up the money somehow. And but they can't keep operating in that building.
Right.
It's really, really unstable. Yes, sir.
And within that plan, if indeed you are going to the bond passes and they go for demolition, they're going to have to double up somewhere while they clear people out, which isn't a quick 3 months.
No.
Process.
But I tell you what, the demolition and building new is going to be quicker than hollowing it out and going
quicker
to that
and
plan.
Cheaper.
Yeah, and less expensive. It'll be disruptive, but you know, they've got Briscoe School. They've got there's several places they can work that out. But
so is the main issue seismic with that building?
Yeah.
Is that the
I mean, there's
how often do we have earthquakes here?
Oh, we're going to have a big one.
Yeah, we're way overdue. But but the other thing too is the infrastructure is terrible. They've got toilet plungers all over the place, and there's horror stories about bathrooms don't work and sinks that leak and the IT infrastructure is all patched in with it's anybody that's been in there or been upstairs, it's like a rabbit warren. There's been so many walls that have been moved and staircases moved and partitions tore out, and it's It is seismic mainly, but there's some other features that are really, really need some work.
I assume the Historic Commission is actively involved in all of this, and they will be choosing the city will be choosing the architects, or?
Well, ORW seems to have the inside track on
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of the elephant in the room these days.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a local firm that has...
well, it's a Medford firm.
Right.
Rather than an Ashland firm. Right. Rather than...
What kind of firm is it?
Architecture.
ORW?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
KS...
So they've done a lot of work. They've done a lot of preliminary work on it and the recommendations and so on. I go on here too long. Yeah. I've scratched my head a little bit on that too. I'm going to kind of dig into how that, you know, we want the best bang for the buck and the most capable.
Well, and what about KSW? Because they do a lot of work in town too. I mean, they've done all the big stuff down on Lithia.
Right, right. So it all depends on how the RFQ and P and all that stuff is offered up. They've got a big inside track here because they were contracted to do the initial analysis and which cost considerable. So they, you know, they've already got the train tower already on the track, you know.
So the vote on the bond is the beginning of May, approximately?
Well, it's May 20th. It's whenever the primary is.
Right.
Yeah, May. I think it's the middle of May.
May. Okay, so backing up, when do they have to have that bond description prepared?
I don't know that. I don't know that. I would think by end of February or first part of March or something.
So that's what they're doing is really hauling to get that done.
Getting the language And
what is the process once they construct the bond language? Does it go to council for approval and recommendation to put it on the ballot?
I think it does, and then at some point it goes to the county clerk for language approval. And I don't know if it goes to county clerk first and then comes to us, or it comes to us first. I don't know what that process is.
So are you pretty confident that the council will approve that? Do you see any issues with that right now?
I am pretty confident. I'm pretty confident. If for no other reason, we realize the gravity of City Hall. And that's really the only way forward at this point. The only viable way forward is to gain some revenue for that purpose.
To follow up on Andy's question, I might understand there's a carve-out for public art on new construction? A percentage?
1/2 of 1%. On certain new construction,
right. The
City Hall would qualify.
Right.
And City Hall also qualifies, also has to follow all the other ordinances, and we got an interesting, which kind of dovetails into a little bit of our work, is from Barry Falden, who... is pushing strongly for, and you can probably speak to this better than I can. Can you speak to that, the 15% open space piece?
I can speak on it in the roughest of terms.
Yes.
For buildings over a certain square footage, there's a requirement for open plaza space and a ratio to the square footage of the building. Planning Commission has requested information that they've discussed now in a couple of study sessions to revisit that, because there's been concerns that those regulations have disincentivized people from doing a third story or whatever else. So Planning Commission is looking at it, but I don't know what the timeline is to amend the land use ordinance to affect it.
Right, right. And so I think Mr. Thalden would like to see that reduced, that 15% reduced, to incentivize downtown building. But his point was, in the meantime, the construction and design of New City Hall is reminding us that there should be no way that we get an exception to that for the New City Hall, that we should abide by that or fix it. So
I don't understand where this open space has to be located relative to a new building.
So, for instance, when this building was built, there's an area out here, and it's kind of hard to see because the sidewalk blends right into it. There is a particular amount of square footage in front here that is plaza space. The same thing is true with the fire station. The same thing is true with the new building on Oak. And so, again, there's concern that that requirement is preventing things from developing the way you'd want them to. And obviously, with City Hall being built out to a zero lot line, the requirement of having to work in some sort of plaza slash open space would be problematic to the form factor that the City Hall currently sits in.
So this says, this ordinance talks about taking 15% of the footprint and allowing it to be open space. Is that what you're saying?
So I don't recall the exact ratio off the top of my head. You mentioned 15%. I'm not going to, I don't know it off the top of my head.
But in concept, that's what it is.
There is a ratio, yeah.
Okay.
There's a history of this whole thing from New York in the World War I. When they were trying to avoid bunker architecture, what Ada Louise Huxtable called bunker architecture, which is what we've got with the City Hall now, where it's just jammed up to the lot line. So the idea of creating a space that's hospitable for people, passersby, and it's really important for city planning. It's a must, aesthetically and artistically and everything. It's a really important factor to build in.
Have there been any ballpark figures thrown out for the new construction?
Of City Hall?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of $6.5 to $7 million.
Does that require an RFP? Times, yeah.
Times
10%.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah. It's not in the works yet, but we're still getting some numbers back from Public Works. I think that's it.
Okay. Any more questions for our counselor? Nope. Okay. Aaron, you're up next.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Counselor Heller, you're up next.
Counselor Denson did talk about our big ticket that we did get the pool, which also includes resurfacing of tennis courts and building pickleball courts that open with golf course approved to be part of that bond that gets paid for out of our food and beverage tax. But a lot of folks are pretty excited about that. And I'm not sure if I was here and that reported that the Japanese garden has been approved back, you know, we got the new clarification without the conflict. To have a nice, very nice donation and beautiful garden there. They're reconfiguring it, not taking out any trees, any of the fir trees, the old trees, and that's going forward. So that's another piece of very good news from our department. I don't know if there's anything else, Mike, that you'd update with that comes to mind.
Those are the important
things. We're happy on both of those things and not feeling much pushback on either of those things.
When does that start to be built?
Would you ask me? Are you asking about the garden?
Yes, for garden.
Well, they're still in design, but the hope is this spring, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to move forward with that pretty soon because the funding is in place.
So now with the pickleball,
if I recall,
what do you guys do about the final design? Is it going to be open to Camp SOPA attend meetings and make their input?
No. Before the design is finalized, there'll be public meetings to show people what it looks like.
And given the chance for their input?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so could you call?
Yeah. See if I can make it work this time.
Okay, any questions of Joel? Comments? Feedback?
Ah, it worked that time.
Hello.
Hello, Tom. This is Public Arts calling you back.
Yay.
Hi, Tom.
You guys hear me okay over there?
Yeah.
So we're at the item in our agenda that is going to deal with the RFQ and the MailChimp. So I want you to hear this whole conversation. I want to update you on, before we review the RFQ, on where we are with the issuing of that RFQ. And then I'm going to tell you the story leading up to that conversation and how it portends a long-term benefit for both the Public Art Commission and the Historic Commission. So back in early November, I started looking at what the additional costs to our project for the hub artwork were going to be, such as lighting and landscaping, so that we would have a feeling for, you know, the cost of the total scope. And I reached out to a couple of departments here in the city, and Adam Hanks said, let me take that on. I have a better, certainly, route to get that information for you. So we planned a conversation, and as part of that, he asked me if I would lay out kind of a long-term financial plan for the Public Art Commission. All the projects that we had on our books right now that we're planning to do, the cost, the time frames, breaking it up into when we would put a deposit, for instance, on a project, when we would pay it off, and so that he could get a total picture and then move forward to create a funding plan for us. We've been talking about beautification funds, you know, lots of different resources. So about a week ago, when I'm looking at the agenda for this meeting, I emailed him and said, are you ready? Do you have something, a draft for us to talk about? And from that email, I received a call from Kelly Matting asking if I could spend some time with her last Wednesday and talk about the Public Art Commission and funding and so forth. So what I want to tell you is she asked if we would consider postponing issuing the RFQ until after the bond issue vote in May. And that would be the bond issue for the City Hall. She's asked us to do that because, as you know, people in the city fail to get the concept that funds for public art come out of TOT funds. They're not able to be spent on homeless shelters or anything else. So in order to give City Council a even playing field to make their case about the bond issues, she asked if we would not put something else out there in the public for controversy and discussion. I have always felt that the Public Art Commission works in concert with the city for the best results for the community at large. So I felt comfortable saying, sure, we can do that. So the conversation then proceeded to talk about really the guts of the issue that I put before Adam. And Kelly said the following. She suggested that we make a presentation to the Budget Committee, similar to what I talked to Adam about, what our long-term plan is, what our long-term funding needs are, and so forth. The end result of that could be to ask the City Council for a raise from percent of TOT funds, which is stated in our ordinance, to a higher amount, whatever that might be. Then I talked to her about the fact that the tacit understanding of this commission and the Historic Commission when we started the MAP project was that we would each share the costs equally. And, of course, Historic has no funding. So we talked to Dale about, you know, getting on the planning budget, and which I don't believe that conversation ever happened, and probably it's, you know, beyond belief that it would be successful. So we talked about why the Historic Commission doesn't have TOT funding. And that's another opportunity to bring before the budget committee so that we could, in actuality, walk the project as we first considered it, where we would indeed share the funding equally. So that's kind of where we are. I find it very hopeful that this has been put on our plate rather than just, you know, we're living with a 3% and we can only do this, and how is that all going to work? And so I hope you agree that it was a good decision and that it bodes well for the future of this commission and the Historic Commission working on public art projects.
Historic has never had a budget like this because they've never needed one. And when the council signed off on the MAP project, whenever that was, I can't remember the date, 2013 or whenever it was, that never came up. And I think this is a really important thing to keep in mind. If, in fact, the council, which it did, as we've talked about, unanimously approved the MAP project, then, in fact, it is upon them to make sure that Historic gets some kind of a budget so that we can carry out what they approved. So it seems to me this is a very reasonable and positive thing for us to support Historic getting a budget out of TOT. For this exact reason. And I don't know that, has Historic even talked about that whole issue since this thing started? Because somebody should have been paying attention to the fact that if they were going to commit to support this, they needed to be proactive to go out there to ask for money. True. You know, this is kind of a big deal, you know.
But as you say, I think they're not used to dealing with money.
Absolutely not.
They had no idea where it was going to come from. They had no idea who to approach or how to approach them.
So I have a question. Why is it that Historic has never really needed
they don't do anything like this.
So this is sort of a one-off for them.
It's the first of its type.
Is it something that they will continue to need money in the future?
Yes.
Or is this
for selected projects
for this
that fit within the scope of TOT funds, just as our projects only fit within, you know, has to contribute to tourism.
Right.
Do you remember any you guys? But, you know, that's basically it. Just what we do.
Downtown beautification, I believe, is a piece in there in TOT.
Well, so I think they were comfortable, speaking about downtown, I think they were comfortable that Adam had granted $22,000 for the medallion portion, and they were just going, well, you know, maybe who knows what they were thinking. But anyway, as you said, they weren't thinking forward. And
dovetailing off that, Sandy, the conversation with the MAP team has never progressed beyond phase one of those medallions. Mm-hmm. So the pack is way ahead in the discussions about the hub sculpture. Mm-hmm. We haven't really talked about that as the MAP team yet and about where that money would be coming from. So not to give them the excuse that they shouldn't be thinking about funding, but that they see a goal
I think
that's
a couple
achievable with the 22K.
Yeah, a couple times we've alluded to the fact that, you know, the PAC has money and we're wanting to really put that project together from this commission rather than the MAP subcommittee and so forth. I think, you know, that shortened them up.
I have a question on timing.
Yeah.
So you said make a presentation to the budget committee. So the budget committee doesn't really form up until the next. I mean, right. We're not going to see the budget committee until next February. When it forms up to go through the budget process or next
February. Yeah, this coming February.
Next February.
Next February.
21.
2021.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I did not get that.
It's a 2-year budget.
It's a 2-year cycle.
That's true. That's true.
Slam on the brakes.
So what's was he saying that it has to go? I mean, is that a required step that it goes to the budget committee first?
No. So here we are. We could go forward in June, for instance, to put out an RFQ with a full understanding that we are going to pay for it. Coming out of our funds. So when I was doing this kind of like profile of where our funding was going to come from, the tub sculptures were going to eat up all of our funding for the next 5 phases, however many phases we do, and with no opportunity for a big project, you know, $100,000, $110,000 project. So that was the big conversation, big takeaway I got from the aha that I got from, you know, laying this whole thing out and explaining it to Adam. And just to finish up on that question, when I talked to Kelly on Wednesday, she didn't mention, and I guess she thought that I probably was aware, that the budget committee is not meeting this February. We talked about February and March. I said, February, March. She said, yeah.
This, yeah. No.
So we can, so the decision is going to come back to us to rest in our laps, and we can start talking about it like right now. Do we want to take on the funding for this first hub art piece? Maybe there will be payback later that will enable some more money to come back into our coffers. Maybe not. Or do we want to just not move ahead with a hub piece until something happens that gives us more money or puts us in a equating kind of a process with historic?
Are you talking about the whole hub project or the project, just the sculpture itself, or the sculpture and the lighting, landscaping, the other, you know, the backup infrastructure?
So right now I'm estimating that the landscaping will be minor, and the lighting I think also will be minor. So okay. I'm thinking maybe 31,000, 32,000. Since it's what, 29.5, I think, for the art piece itself. 25 plus 152 and a.
Yeah.
Three samples.
Three samples of 1,500 each. So that's 450.
29.50.
So 29.50, okay. That's the sculpture, plus additions, which will, you know, what the city needs to do and what they'll back charge us for. I'm going to say 32,000. Do we want to move ahead and, you know, complete, which will essentially be 2/3 of the railroad project, because there are still some medallions in that railroad district left to be done. We'll do the first phase of the medallions, 5 medallions. That's been paid for. And, you know, whether it's a credit to historic or it's a credit to us, it's beautification funds. It is what it is. And then to move forward, do we want to go ahead and say, okay, we'll take on funding out of, I think we have 60, maybe 60,000 in our pot now, something like that. Do we want to take on funding of that art piece and its environment?
So just so I understand, you're saying that it would probably consume all of our budget for the all five phases for the next 5 years, unless we get other funding, correct?
The just the hub sculptures alone,
yes.
That doesn't talk about the spokes.
Right, exactly, right.
Right.
Okay. And the reason for the delay is kind of PR related?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's
that,
important in this town.
You know, as I said before, there are certain elements of the community that will say, you're doing what? You're spending money on this, and you're asking us for money for that, when we tell them over and over again, it's not equal.
Apples and oranges.
So, comments.
When are the medallions going in? What's the target date for the first phase?
It depends on when we start the design process, which we're... Apparently, Jennifer should have the initial payment now, and so we're waiting to hear from her to start talking about the design, and I'm thinking that there's no way she wants to open that one up around the holidays, so I'm kind of expecting a call from her in January, and then we can start the design process. They said that they were thinking somewhere around 33 weeks that we start talking about the design, so we're...
So it's after the bond thing and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I would suggest when we think about the MAP project in terms of how much the PAC wants to take on, I would suggest only thinking about it in terms of finishing out the railroad district. Mm-hmm. Let the other three districts just be on hold until we can make a presentation to the budget committee and find out where the money's going to go on that. If we had to, right now, we could vote as the PAC on whether we want to underwrite the hub sculpture and then also consider the remaining medallions in the railroad district as part of that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, not for discussion.
Okay, I'm good. I'm going to take that and keep going on more comments.
First of all, I agree with Andy that we should move ahead with the railroad hub. We need to keep the momentum going. But I would say, thinking back to how this all got going in the first place when I was on historic, there are, 9 or 11 or something spokes. It seems like we should consider whether we finish the whole district or move ahead to the next district, and when money becomes available, come back and fill in. In other words, hitting the five key spokes in each district to get things going, and then as money becomes available later, fill in additional ones, because it's hard to look forward to say how might things develop in that area and what could happen with Briscoe, for instance, would certainly have an impact on that whole section. So I think we should go ahead and underwrite the hub sculpture, and then for the next phase move to another set of spokes in a different district before we finish.
I disagree, and the reason why is that I want to see the railroad district. I want to see that completed so that people get an idea of
the big picture.
This is the big picture for the district.
Yeah, I think that
there's
works.
also complications in opening up a lot of those other ones. Like if the city was just asking for input on the downtown revitalization deal, so I think it's a timely prospect to talk to them and say, do you want the MAP project to be included in that revitalization
That's
plan?
True.
So as a result, the downtown district would kind of take next priority after railroad district is finished. And the complications with getting the MAP project established downtown are huge.
Yeah.
You know, we've got places like the Varsity Theater or...
Trinity Episcopal Church. So can you imagine just rolling up and hacking into the sidewalk and say, yeah, this is where the plaque's going to go? You know, it's going to take a lot of...
But we need to keep in mind that initially City Council wanted us to start downtown. That was unanimously voted.
Really?
Yeah, that was before my time.
Yeah, Rich proposed that night that I did the presentation, and I've kind of forgotten how, I think we... But Rich said, let's do this. Oh, I remember now. I proposed three different levels. Let's go big or go home. Here's a medium one. Here's the mini one. Uh-huh. And the council said, we'll go for the mini one and start with downtown. And that's what got the unanimous approval, was doing downtown. But that was before all the beautification stuff got started, yeah, too. So there's so many things that have changed in the meantime.
That's great to know, because that really supports the idea that I had about talking to them about the revitalization, mm-hmm, plan. If that's a bookmark that we can return to and say, this is what you guys asked for initially.
Well, I think that would be worthwhile, but then that also speaks back to my initial thought, which would be, settle for the five that we're doing in the railroad, and if downtown, if they will say, okay, let's piggyback the downtown historic district with this revitalization, then to move to the key pieces downtown before we come back. So I think that has to be at least looked at.
Sure.
Okay, Jeff, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think the five medallions should go forward right now, as soon as we can make it happen. No.
And with regard to whether the PAC assumes the cost,
yes,
for the hub artwork?
Sculpture. Yeah, so there's the sculpture, the hub sculpture, and then there's the five medallions.
Five medallions are already covered, basically. Right.
You're, yeah, talking about
the one,
you're talking about 6 through 10?
No, it's the first five.
That's a done deal.
Oh, that's a, yeah.
That's done.
Right, so yeah, we're talking about planning the next five after that.
No, we're talking about the hub sculpture.
Right, no, I understand, but then, okay.
That's as far as we are. That's all, yeah,
that's
all we should talk about right
with
now.
Our commitment so far for the hub sculpture.
The whole thing is, we don't have a commitment. We haven't made a commitment. That's what we're talking about, is whether we go ahead and assume those dollars coming out of our budget.
I think we should.
And I'm calling it hub artwork because it may not turn out to be a sculpture, maybe pieces of whatever. So
installation.
That's why installation, right? That's why you're hearing different.
I would be for proceeding with that
and assuming responsibility
for the financial part. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So if we do that, we're basically spending our entire budget for the year on that one piece. Mm-hmm.
That
which
plus,
because
kind of I'm thinking it was like maybe 22, yeah, we got this year.
Which is kind of what we've always done, as I understand it. Or we save up money to buy.
Yeah, mostly save.
Really expensive. So we're not really changing what we do. But, you know, I don't want to spend money we don't have. But the 0.5% on the city hall, we should keep that in the back of our minds, that we may end up way flusher than we are now for some of these future projects.
Yeah. And the possible complication of that is, you know, that's going to be 4 years,
yeah,
down,
right,
the road.
Exactly. Right.
In the meantime, yeah, the concept of sharing equally in the cost of this project with historic. So
who don't have a budget yet.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, of making this presentation whenever that happens. I don't want the possibility that we're going to get however,
yeah,
many,
yeah,
thousands,
yeah,
of dollars to,
sure,
coming,
yeah,
to public art and maybe split between public art and historic if they get that. You know, who knows how that's all going to play out.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm wanting to know that you're comfortable taking $32,000 of our pot of money and,
right,
assuming responsibility for that. That's where I'm going. You don't have to. I'm asking if you have any other questions or comments.
No.
Okay. J. Do you want to weigh in?
Can I comment?
Certainly. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to apologize first. You know, sometimes I'm listening over my cell phone, so I'm getting the gist of what everything is being said, but I'm going to ask just a couple of questions because it was a little bit hard to hear. First of all, the funds that we were setting aside for the first phase of the hub project are funds from the year 2019, correct?
Well, I don't think we'd established that. I think we were still operating under the assumption that it would be possible that the hub artwork for the Railroad District could be funded out of beautification funds, of funds that are sitting in the city beautification pot to be parsed out to various projects.
And those funds are there. It's not future funds, it's current funds in place. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're city funds, not PAC funds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to be clear on that. Second part, there's been a request to hold off on the RFQ until, like, this coming June. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The third question I have, to approach and request any additional funds, however it is allocated, whether it's through historic or whether it's following a proposal that we put together that says we deserve more money, that can't happen for another 14 months. Is that correct, roughly?
Well, apparently that's the first time the budget committee, which is what Kelly Matting suggested we would want to present to, is hearing proposals. But what you just raised that I hadn't thought about is just because we're putting the RFQ off, there's still beautification funds sitting in the pot that Adam and I originally talked about to be distributed to various projects, and it may be that we still can be awarded those funds instead of taking it out of our PAC fund to do this project. So thanks for reminding me of that. Do you have other questions?
In either case, we can't reach out with an RFQ for, 6 months.
Correct.
Okay. Please go ahead then. So far, I just wanted to make sure, and I'm really interested in hearing how everybody else feels as far as just how far we should go forward. And I'm going to hold off just a little bit before I chime in on whether I'm a yay or a nay on some direction. So was there anybody else going to speak in? And I don't know how many people are there, so I'm not even sure if everybody's spoken up.
We have a full
commission.
Yeah, we have a full commission, plus Mike and Joel here today. So our room is full. We have a speaker system that's supposed to be picking up our voices. Apparently, we're not doing a really good job of speaking into it. So thanks for the reminder that you're not catching everything. Anyway, but there are several other comments left to be made. So I'm going to take it back to the room. Thank you. Okay. We'll go on to Mike Gardner.
Well, I have a comment, but maybe I need to reserve it for the project update. But I would just interject that I'm currently the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Downtown Revitalization. So,
oh, okay.
And the next meeting of that group is January 8th.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Might be helpful.
My only observation is something that was just mentioned, is just if indeed City Hall funding is going to contribute to my view, I think that is a piece to be thought about within this in terms of the tightness of the budget. But I think you guys know many more ramifications, but I think it's a reality in this.
Yeah.
I was going to say when Stanley was talking about big sculptures or how our money was going to be divided up, he was absent for the strategic planning in the last couple of meetings. So at that time, we basically kind of kicked around the ideas of not thinking about the next big thing and thinking about smaller things, whether it be benches or bus stop canopies like Susan Sokla did for TriMet in Portland. So we're already kind of thinking of not doing the next big thing. And I was going to also say that since now we've got until June for the RFQ, there isn't any point talking about MailChimp now.
Well, since Tom is here, I'm going to ask him to make his presentation, but you're right, it gives us a lot of time.
I would rather hear it in person from Tom.
We'll have to ask Tom. Okay. Steve.
So the idea of making a presentation to the to be born budget committee a year from now, I would suggest that we wiggle whatever money we can out of current beautification funding through Adam and the processes that he goes through, really try to wiggle as much money out of that as we can, because it's going to be a heavy lift. Budget committee, it's money's tight. Money's really tight, and I don't know how far that's going to get as far as putting some more TOT money towards historical or even increasing ours is going to be tough. I wouldn't count on that too much. So I really like the idea of getting with Adam and kind of squeezing that.
Issuing the RFQ, but going back to Adam and trying to get that funding plan lined out as best as he can right now. I think that's a good
idea. And it's not necessarily surreptitious, but it is less publicly onerous for some people if it's just done and it's not done through a big public budget process, because you get shot at. Right?
I'm really not sure how the public would know that we put out an RFQ, but that doesn't really matter. I didn't want to argue with Kelly. She was really clear on what she wanted, so I felt that if it did leak out, her thought was that it would really impact the council's ability to sell the bond issue. So
one of the things
was what it was.
That I'd like to interject here. There's a whole undercurrent of social media in this town that takes misstatements and half truths and really, really runs with it. And really runs with it. And that would be a perfect example of somebody getting that. And then it becomes a big, big deal. And so there's actually an effort within the city to get on the front end of that. We're actually thinking of developing a Facebook presence and doing a weekly or even a daily FAQ or a response, because we just end up being this punching bag, and it's so hard for us to, but it's time consuming. For somebody, number one, that knows the issues and can respond to it, there's not a whole lot of folks in the between Kelly and maybe three or four other people that can really respond effectively, factually, and in a timely manner. It takes a big chunk of time to do that. But I do know that the city and some councilors are really tired of being this, being this city punching bag and not being able to effectively respond. So. Anyway, I think that's about to change.
Trolls have endless amount of time.
Okay, so having heard everybody,
Richard didn't say.
Oh,
well, I just
you had asked you a question.
How likely is the bomb to pass? And in which case, if it doesn't, you've waited for nothing.
Okay, here's the other confusing thing. It's the jail bond. The jail bond is coming up in May. That's also going to be on the ballot. So there's this idea that the folks in Ashland, for sure, I would almost lay money on it, are going to vote the jail bond down, I suspect, for a variety of reasons, philosophical, financially, blah, blah, blah. But what they might do is vote the jail bond down and then maybe feel a little bad about that and then vote for that.
I was thinking the opposite, that as long as they're voting no on the jail bond, they're going to look at the City Hall thing and go no on that as well.
Right, yeah, right. It's going to be really important, the educational effort on the part of the city to speak to the to the revenue bond, to talk about it, that it's replacing what people are already paying. And just like the school bond that just passed, you know, there was a school bond that sundowned, and all they did was the voters approved it, and it just, you know, it was a dead trade off, and that's hopefully what I think that the education is going to be an important thing. So that to go back to your question, I would like to think that the citizens would pass that, but it's. The pool bond's not going to cost anything. I mean, it's not even come up for election, you know. And so the education has to be out there. Because I see social media getting ahead, we're building a new pool, you know, and not realizing that it's not going to cost them a cent more. But see, that's the kind of thing that gets on fire on social media and becomes, you know, factual when it's not. So that's a good question. I don't know. Well, how do people this is a random sampling of citizenry. What do you think?
This is enlightened citizenry.
No deplorable theory.
No deplorable theory.
I think there has been enough press, generally speaking, around City Hall issues for an extended period of time that people are aware that that's an issue.
Yeah.
And I think it is fortunate that the funding mechanism, especially if it can come in very similar to the existing, I think it will have a more positive response, is just my gut feeling.
Okay.
That's me.
You know, I had a colleague at the Getty that often said, there are no art emergencies. And, you know, everything we do is always is going to take a bit of a backseat to things that people perceive as more emergent, like City Hall and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how that perception would affect the vote, but it's a reality.
Yeah. So I would like to put forward a proposal, which is that we go back to Adam and pursue funding for the hub artwork for the railroad district out of beautification funds, and that we reserve decision on whether we fund, you know, pending that outcome, if that's a negative outcome, we then have another conversation about whether we are in agreement to fund the hub artwork from PAC funds and own it.
I think that's great given the amount of time that we have. It makes perfect sense.
Okay. So that's my proposal.
I second it.
Can I do a motion?
I want to make sure. I think this is something we definitely need to have a motion and vote on. So, motion to meet with Adam to lobby for beautification funds for the hub sculpture?
Correct.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Question?
Yes, questions.
Does that mean the beautification funds will pay for the hub sculpture?
That's what we're going
to
ask for.
Okay.
That's what we're going to ask for.
We're going to ask for beautification.
We're going to ask for beautification because I was on that track in my prior conversations with Adam. So I'm going to go back to that and pursue that, and hopefully that will be successful.
Does that then delay the hub sculpture?
Well, as you've heard this conversation, we're not going to issue that RFQ till July. So, yes, it definitely delays,
but for a different reason.
Clarification:
should we be turned down for beautification funds for the railroad hub sculpture? There is enough money in the PAC budget to go ahead, and that would be our backup plan.
Correct. Okay. Any other questions?
So, should that be part of the motion?
No, I think...
They're kind of separate issues.
I propose to have them as separate issues that we just have set as singular direction,
and
if that fails, come back and reset a direction. Okay. No other questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. It's like a, Tom, I'm sorry, you're like a voice out of the blue. I didn't expect to hear you. Do you want to just, so the motion carried, but you, I want to give you two opportunities here. The first to tell us why you're opposed to the motion, and then I think you should take just a few minutes since you're on the line.
He said aye.
He voted aye.
He voted aye.
You did? I thought you said no.
No, I was in favor. I said aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
It was just a late aye.
It was an aye after you said opposed.
Yeah, it was. It's a delayed sound.
Oh, that's where it was.
Yeah, okay. It's a delayed sound thing. Yeah.
All right. Cross out all that. Moving forward, since you're on the line, and we have now lots of time to develop this MailChimp, which is going to be amazing, could you give the commission a kind of a quick overview of why you think MailChimp will work? And let me preface it with why we're having this discussion. So I think I didn't bring that, but I have 12 pages that I culled that could be absolutely specific to the RFQ of organizations and individual artists and art associations and art galleries to send the RFQ to. How do you do that? So Tom would like to promote the notion of using MailChimp. So, Tom, you're on.
Okay, I'm on. MailChimp, First of all, it's a service similar to like Constant Contact, and there are other services out there that provide e-blast or e-newsletter type. So in case just to make sure everybody knew what MailChimp was all about, MailChimp is rated very highly. I've looked at the comparatives between these different services. And in addition to the fact that it is considered a higher quality service of this kind, one of the pieces that makes this a little more appealing is we can use this particular service for free up to a certain point. The point that I'm talking about is X amount of emails, outgoing emails a month, using the service, and judging by our needs. And I'm assuming, even though I haven't actually literally seen our current email list, I'm pretty sure we're underneath. I don't have that in front of me, the number that they say. If you're under a certain number, it's free. If it's over a certain number, it's not free, and they charge you a certain amount based on how many emails go out. I don't have that number in front of me right now.
Tom?
But I do believe.
Excuse me, I believe the number is 500.
500 what?
500 emails going out. Under 500 is free.
Oh, that's from MailChimp? I thought it was a higher number.
Go ahead.
But if that's what you had, and I don't recall how many, and again, I haven't seen our email list, so I don't know exactly. It seemed like we were under the limit as far as our current email list. Anybody know what our list amounts to, quantity?
Oh, so there's going to be 20 to a page times 12.
So maybe 300 or something?
Yeah, less than 500.
We're thinking it's under 500. But I may
That's
be wrong.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, I'm thinking back. So I got this information about 500 from the office manager at the Schneider, but I'm remembering back to the Ashland Arts Center, and they use, I think, MailChimp, and I think they have 1,000. So anyway, don't worry about that. Go ahead and talk about the concept.
Okay, the concept that the service provides more than simply sending out emails. And I want to just read this brief statement that MailChimp puts out. Every time there's a new subscriber, every time one is added to your list, they have a feature called Never Bounce that verifies the email address and determines if it is valid. Addresses with invalid, disposable, or unknown results are unsubscribed from your MailChimp list, keeping your email data clean and campaigns deliverable. And I thought this would be important because we had discussed at one, I think in our previous meeting, maybe the meeting before, breaking out our current list that we have and having different people in our commission check for the validity of those email addresses. We don't have to take that step. We can use the service, and as we send out for the RFQ, the service will determine whether or not the email address is live, you know, whether it'll bounce or not. So we can bypass that step and let the analytics provide us information from what we've sent out. We could also add to our list too, because it seems like this list that we currently have hasn't been worked on in a while. And we can talk about ways we can add to the list at another point in time. But what was important to me and what I wanted to primarily share was that by using a service like this, we don't have to take that step of all of us breaking into subgroups and trying to determine if our email addresses are alive. So was there any comments?
An additional benefit is that when we did this before, and I can't remember why we thought it was a good idea, is everybody sent a group from our own personal emails. So that put our own personal emails out there to all of these artists, for instance, who would then respond with questions, and then you had to redirect. And so this has that additional benefit of just keeping us out of the mix.
Yes.
So
another benefit.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Okay. Another benefit, I've worked with Constant Contact, and I got a gut feeling that they're going to be similar as far as the tools that you use to put your e-blast, or in our case, an RFQ out there in some way that is appealing. And having done that work before with Constant Contact, I anticipate we could provide something more than a hi, how are you, this is what we got in mind, are you interested in bidding on this project, by putting something together that's a little more appealing to encourage bidding on the project. It would also probably include a link maybe back to the Public Art Commission website if we want to have further details of some sort. So we have options and capabilities by using a service like this that would make our job, you know, easier and more efficient. So if it's a path everybody would like to go down, or how are we decide to do this, I think we should at least consider doing this.
Sandy. Allison has a question.
I assume that this would also bypass the tendency for companies like Charter to throw things in trash, which is what happens when you do a large block of emails. Some servers just put it straight to trash as part of their spam process. So I assume that a professional organization like this, that would not happen.
Tom, do you have any?
I don't think it's black and white. I don't think it would not happen or it would happen. I think there are going to be occasions where we won't be able to get through, and in which case we will get an analytic response that would allow us to identify where we're having any blocks. I think that is true, though, pretty much in a lot of ways. If we send out an email out of our personal email address, if it's some situations, and correct me if anybody has any more detailed information on this, but I believe we take that risk anyway.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
But there are also... I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, junk folders are really personal settings driven mostly.
Well, in this case, it's not because Charter is handling is doing it. So it's not on your personal computer, but it's the receiving end. People who have Charter tend to have things thrown into trash when there are big blocks of email going out. That's a problem we have all the time at Ollie. And I'm just assuming that maybe this could bypass that.
Yes, I think we use MailChimp's server to, I will do my homework on that and let you know, but I'm pretty sure you use MailChimp's server when outgoing and I suppose incoming.
Well, it's the incoming that's
through,
the problem.
Through their server.
Yeah, it's the incoming that's the problem. It's whoever your receiver, who their carrier is, not the outgoing.
Well, we can't control, right. But I'm not a techie guy, so I'm not. I'd have to look into how they get around firewalls or the servers. If it's Charter, how that's managed. So I'd have to look into that.
I'm going to suggest that if, as one of your resources, that you check with Emily McPeak at the Schneider.
Okay. I can do that.
So it's going to take someone doing the initial inputting, too. And Emily talked to me about getting a password that could be shared so that various people could do the inputting. So you might look into that. You know, maybe in January you will have a little more information for us? Or February?
I believe we will.
Okay.
I will.
All right.
It seems to me, since we can't move on the RFQ anyway for a while, we can get this figured out to whatever detail we want to do it.
Right. It's a great opportunity because I couldn't figure out how we were going to get this under control by January 6th. So
one last question. So what the heck are we going to do for the next 6 months?
I don't know. Maybe we don't have to meet so much.
Well, okay. Keep me in the loop, would you?
Yeah, when are you back in town?
Well, I'll be back first week of January.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much. Do you want to hang up now?
Yeah, my arm's getting a little tired, but I will go ahead and do a little more research, and when we get together again, hopefully I can answer more questions.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. You all have a good holiday.
To you as well. Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So I'm ready to move forward to project updates unless you have anything more to say about what we've been talking about for the last hour. Good. All right.
Well, the stuff that was right before distribution of RFQ, there's
the document.
You know, the documents.
Thank you.
But those don't really need to be... If there's a big delay for releasing the RFQ, that could be delayed to another meeting.
Plus, we also don't know if we're going to get substantive feedback from legal after they finish reviewing it. So.
Piece of information.
So Bill asked for a copy of the RFQ and has subsequently been sent over to admin and is being reviewed by legal.
Okay.
I haven't received any feedback from them yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to expect from that.
Okay.
So that's additional reasoning to perhaps postpone this to the January meeting, because I would expect, I would certainly hope by January we've gotten an up or down back.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I learned was when we were working with Ann Seltzer and fell under administration, she would just go to legal, and there's a contracting clause, there's just a couple of things that a document going out of the city has to meet, and Ann handled that. So I had no idea. And when Bill said, I need to send this to legal, I went, what? Yeah, so, okay.
In the RFQ, when it says the attachment site photos and information about the site and a complete description of the map project, you can see in the packet there's the description of the map project that I wrote, but I also wrote the site description for the railroad park and included a bunch of pictures from looking at every particular angle so that the artist could basically get a good idea of what the park felt like without having to be there. That was my goal. And it didn't make it into the packet because I got it to Aaron too late. And it was also...
And I said I was going to run a copy off, and it totally slipped my mind. Do you want me to go do that right now? Or
No, because the RFQ's delayed. Right.
So I'm going to suggest that either January or February, depending upon when the RFQ gets approval or needs to be modified by... When it's finalized by the city, shall I say... We will go back through and get a final readout of all of us that we're all comfortable with the way it's written. Okay?
So it has to go to council to get approval?
No. Did I say that? I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
To legal.
Oh.
Just to legal.
Do we need a motion to delay sending up the RFQ?
I don't think so.
Since our minutes are... I don't know
Do
if
you
it's
want
in
a
the
motion?
Minutes.
I agree with you. I don't feel that it's necessary, but if the body would like to, I have no problem against it.
Okay. If it's not required, let's just kind of set that aside. All right. Moving on to project updates. Andy has a document that he has constructed that is really interesting. You know, he's been kind of working by the seat of his pants, constructing the map subcommittee and how it functions and what does he have to go back to us to ask about, what does historic need to know, and so forth. So Andy has created this draft that you see, so I'm going to ask you to walk your way through it.
It's in the wrong order in the packet. It's after the work plan item.
Well, this came about pretty much. Aaron asked me, he said, so I'm new to this. How does map work? It's in there. There you go.
Right there.
Allison, when you left on vacation and asked me to take care of the cats, it was more a question of making sure that everybody was still sitting at the table talking nicely to each other, and that's kind of where that thing went. We never really, and all of a sudden now we're at a point where we're proceeding with a game plan that the rules have never really been discussed, and Aaron brought that up, so it's a question of backtracking. So I wrote out basically the way that I think our subcommittee should function and the powers that we have to decide amongst ourselves without going to the parent commission. I don't see any point in reading through this when you all can do it.
Mike Gardner wanted to make sure that it was also understood that even though, you know, you're working with Adam Hanks on where and when, that someone needs to go to Michael Black at some point and clarify what the plan is, because obviously it's in one of our parks, and he's gone to the commission
right. And
gotten the general approval, but in terms of the specifics and the timing and the... And we don't know what exactly is going in at this point.
Right.
Michael Black needs to be apprised.
We talked about that, and you kind of wanted Adam to drive that.
Adam wants to drive that.
And that, I understand where he wants to drive that. I think it's really important for parks that Michael Black be aware of it and what the plan is.
Oh, I think he's going to talk directly to Michael Black.
Okay, as long as someone is talking.
I'm pretty sure that was his intention, is to go to Michael and clarify everything.
Okay, and I just want to confirm.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to leave at 10. So.
Okay, we appreciate your being here. Thank you.
For clarification, this has gone to the Parks Commission.
Correct.
For initial approval already.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And they are aware that the hub site that we chose, that was approved. At the meeting, they said, well, we like the idea of having a hub down here. We just aren't quite sure whether that's the best site. And I kind of said, whoa, backtrack. I'm here to ask specifically for that site, because we can't ask an artist to create a site-specific thing if they don't know that it's meant for that area. Mm-hmm. So then they realized that, and it was approved unanimously. So on this, basically, when the map team meets, basically what we're going to do is make decisions amongst ourselves and report back to the parent commissions. And if you, at that point, if you guys have concerns or something, then it can be recycled back to us to talk about. But we've got to have some autonomy to make decisions when we're meeting as to whether we want to do a direct commission or whether it's an RFQ or RFP. And as we move into the plaque design phase, we need the ability to talk about that and make the decisions right then and there along with Jennifer. We have one revision. So if we go through the work and come up with a design and we have to run it through both parent commissions and wait for input from people that aren't attending the meetings, that don't have all the same information, it's just very unproductive. So that's part of the thought behind giving us the power to make those decisions, as well as the sequence of future districts and phases, Allison, like we talked about, whether to finish out Railroad Park or whether... So the plan is to talk about that at the map level and make monthly reports to you all, and Dale would be doing the same to Historic. So moving on to the second bulleted item, when a new phase of the project is designed, map should present the concept to our parent commissions, followed by a presentation and request for approval from City Council. So whether it's, obviously if we're asking for money or if we're asking to utilize city property, it's got to be approved by City Council before that. And also, if the concept of marking the spoke sites changes from plaques to something else, if it's benches or whatever. So the third item goes back to the hub sculpture is following the process for acquiring public art under the municipal code. So MAP can advise PAC on that, but the acquisition still follows the same procedure.
How many members are on the subcommittee?
Six.
What happens if you have a tie?
We work it out.
Oh.
I think that's the beauty of having it even, is that, we talked about having three on Historic, three on Public Art, and having Peter Finkel as the author of the narratives and stuff as being a seventh, but it made more sense to try to include him as one of the six, and then we come to agreements at our MAP level.
Hmm. So you're going to be arm wrestling or something, right?
Well,
compromising, working things out.
Yeah, that's the point. And actually, everything's really been pretty diplomatic so far. I mean, when Historic
Well, that's because you haven't come to the design process yet.
Well, we talked about it in theory, and when Historic kind of stomped their feet saying, whoa, you know, we want the imagery on the plaques to be historically correct. Otherwise, there isn't any point in doing it. And that's when you were already gone, and I reported back to you, and I said, oh, I feel like I just let the cats out, and they're not coming back. You know, it was a hard one for me to compromise on, because I felt like, you know, the nature of the plaques was supposed to be contemporary, but I heard what they were saying. And they also really pressed on the collage style deal for the plaques, which was another hard one for me to wrap around.
Yeah, there were some issues regarding the amount of text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the big one right from the get-go. Yeah. You know.
So, but we worked it out.
You know, yeah. And that's why I think it's important to keep it at 3-3. So moving on to the next bullet item on that, what I would the citizen at large issue may formally be adopted as part of the 6-person membership. Initially, when I wanted Peter to be one of the 6, Fotini said you can't do that because
he's not
on Historic, and he's not on PAC. Mm-hmm. So he contributes greatly. We're operating under a different set of rules. I want Peter to be formally adopted, and I wanted to ask you all how you felt about that.
It makes perfect sense that as an outsider, he's part of it, but then he's not a voting member.
That he should be.
Well, but how can he be if he's not officially on either commission? I mean, legally.
I asked that question via email. I haven't gotten a response back.
Okay.
So after we had that meeting, I sent that email to Maria asking if that was problematic, because it seemed like your group was all fine with it. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten a response yet.
Okay.
I think there's significant latitude, considering it's a working subcommittee, provided both of the parent commissions
approve.
Okay. Yeah. And that's part of the reason of bringing this to the bigger body is for that purpose of acknowledging.
So the question would be, if he is legally able to be part of this, and it seems reasonable given how much he is contributing, then you would have a voting body of 7.
6.
Then who is he replacing?
That's part of the problem. Historic, it never seems to put anybody up for this. Dale is always there. Piper is the only other one that's on it, and
so
she's
Peter would
sometimes there.
Yeah, so Peter would represent Historic, which makes more sense because he's not an art person.
Right.
If Historic were okay with Peter being a representative of their commission, though not a part of their commission, then I don't see how we can object to that.
I had a conversation with Peter after our meeting. He is awesome. He said, I'm just happy to help however I can. If I can be one of the 6 formally, I'm happy to do that. I'm also happy just to continue being an observer and, you know, with not voting privileges. But part of the problem is we have a quorum of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So Historic is having a hard time getting somebody that wants to step in. So as it stands right now, all we need is one person absent.
And you're screwed.
And we're right at the level. If we have 2 people absent, we can't meet. We can't do anything.
Well, let's hope that Peter can be a part of it, because that would make sense, because he would be more dependable to be there than Historic would be. And he would be representing Historic. And if Historic's all right with that, that certainly makes sense to me.
Another reason why he's so qualified is he does his Walk Ashland article in the Tidings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
a nice
natural
connection.
Extension.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I would, I guess now would be the time to ask for PAC's approval of including Peter. So I would like to make a motion that we formally adopt Peter Finkel as a voting member of the MAP team.
In lieu of an Historic Commission member.
Right.
Okay.
Keeping membership in the MAP team at 6.
So what we're doing is we're advising, we're agreeing to your concept. Correct, the PAC? And Historic is going to agree to this concept as well. So I'm wondering if rephrasing the motion so that it...
Pending Historic approval as well.
Pending Historic and legal approval, the PAC... Jeff's locked himself out again.
Could I propose a wording?
Yeah,
sure.
A motion to acknowledge the MAP responsibilities, duties, authority document and approving Peter Finkel as a citizen at large as a member of the MAP committee pending admin Historic Commission approval.
Great.
Wow. Amazing.
Sure. Perfect. Thank you.
We knew we quite kept him around for some good reason.
Okay. So.
I made the motion.
You made the motion. Can I have a second? Allison seconds. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Update on Masterworks contract and purchase order.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie's got more.
Okay, so, well, at the last bullet item is just what we were talking about previously about whether PAC is going to underwrite the hub sculpture, and that's yet to be determined. Mm-hmm. So that...
Okay.
This just states that at the outset of the project, we agreed to contribute equally to underwrite the project, and that just the initial phase was $22K, and that unless MAP funding from the city is granted by the More Beautifications or Historic is designated to receive TOT funding, only PAC is receiving TOT funds, and... But it's my feeling that unless Historic gets TOT funds, the future of the MAP project is definitely in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So they need to be aware of that. And the last line, the decision on whether to use dedicated PAC funds towards the hub artwork is completely at PAC's discretion, and we'll talk about that later.
Excellent.
Okay.
So it's getting close to 10:30. The items under work plan are going to take us a while. I'm going to suggest that the last thing that we do today is ask Andy for an update on the Masterworks contract, and maybe you've already said that, but whatever you want to say, and that we postpone the work plan calendaring until January.
Do you want me to talk about the framework for disseminating?
Or yeah, we can work our so. Okay, do the update on the
okay.
Masterworks contract.
Okay, and
please.
Okay, Aaron told me that by now the initial payment to Jennifer should have been issued. By now she should have it, and the communication with her was to please let me know when that has been done and she's ready to start talking about design, at which point we would schedule a conference call and assemble the MAP team and start working with that. I do not expect that to happen around the holidays, so I'm expecting just to hear from her in January, and we'll move forward with that.
And Andy, just to make sure that the payment has gotten there, I'll take steps to make sure that that has been done and reach out to her.
Okay. So it's hurry up and wait.
So 33 weeks from the time you're talking about design, which is going to be February at the earliest, maybe March, was it 10 weeks to create a design? I sort of remember.
I'm fuzzy on that.
Yeah.
I do remember 33 weeks.
It called out specific phases, and I don't recall that off the top of my head either. I probably have the document in here somewhere.
Well, so I'm just thinking that, you know, instead of... I don't know how that installation is going to play out, but it's going to take up, you know, a large part of our year to play out.
And so the only thing that makes me nervous about the timing on that issue is that the business owner of Revive that occupies Haskins Garage specifically asked us not to install the plaque during her busy season.
Well, it wouldn't be. I mean, it's eight to 9 months is what we're talking about. So it's going to be well into the fall.
Right.
Even Shakespeare may even be done by the time that,
So we want to get in. We want to do the concrete work before the weather is so cold and foul that it messes with that. We also, those are the things we're trying to coordinate.
Well, sometime in the fall, basically, is what we're talking about.
It takes 33 weeks for them to design, I thought?
33 weeks is from the entire process, from initial consultation to delivery.
To delivery.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not what I heard a minute ago. I heard, and I may be wrong, that it was going to be 13 weeks from the conversations regarding design.
No, 33.
33 is the entire time frame.
Yeah.
And that's from design to the delivery.
Exactly.
And then we still...
And then installation.
And installation.
Installation after 33 weeks.
So, so that's why we're talking 8 months from the time this gets started to installation.
It still seems like an awful long time.
Yep.
Do they say why it takes so long?
I didn't ask.
Well, she's probably got a lot of other projects going.
There are no art emergencies.
That's a great quote.
She has shown us incredible amount of patience as we fumbled through whether it's no time to say
Well, and it wouldn't shock me either if she's probably padded those numbers, and once you start having conversations, I could totally see some of those phases coming in ahead of schedule.
Okay, so we have 15 more minutes. I would like to ask Andy to walk through the draft framework for disseminating public art information, which was one of our strategies for this year, 2019.
So Sandy asked me to take this project on, and the first thing I started to do was just try to figure out all the instances where there would be information that goes out. So you see project announcements, call for artists, meaning RFQs, RFPs, presentations, going public, isn't that what you called that?
No.
That seminar that you did.
The seminar?
A couple years ago.
Something like that. That's close.
Anyway, things like that, presentations or dedications, you know, like when we were up in the watershed bringing the last few pieces in, or threshold velocity, whatever, all that stuff. So, and when projects are completed, and like the map project, part of that is going to be, you know, a story map included on the city website where people can look at the overhead and dial in specific sites. So making the public aware of that sort of thing is another item. PAC goals and information on PAC funding, that's a little more of an internal process, but maybe, you know, it's good to be transparent about that stuff as well. So I included those. And then the next column over is just, you know, basically just who gets that information.
Question? Does Power of Public Art fit in here somewhere?
That would be part of the second bulleted item, the presentations.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about
that was a big part of what I was thinking about.
What about the rogue messenger?
Oh, good to know. I didn't consider that. So I just started on the contacts. I just started listing everything I could think of.
This could be added, too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would be great if you would want to offer that up today.
Yeah.
Rogue messenger.
Rogue messenger. I don't think they're part of Rosebud. I think they're independent.
Okay.
But they appeal to a younger demographic.
Okay. So, and then I start, I guess my plan was to reach out to all of these people on this thing and find out what kind, how much advance notice they wanted for something. And I thought, as I started thinking through, what's the point in reaching out to them just on a theoretical basis? Let's wait until we have something, you know. And this contact list is very fluid. It'll change constantly from year to year. So this is just a start.
Yeah, this is supposed to be where the this is not where the RFP is going to be sent. There's another whole list.
Well, there is. There, the number one bulleted item is
called to artists, for artists.
Yep.
Right, and then that's a separate list of places that you send that out.
Do you see artist contact list to the right?
And so that list is separate.
So that's all I have to say on it.
Okay. So let's just walk through it and see if anybody's got any suggestions for additions. So then Andy did an individual contact list, and we may not use it until after John Stromberg is gone and Stephen Jensen is no longer our council liaison, but as Andy said, it's fluid, but it's a start, it's a placeholder, you know, and if you have other associations or resources that need to be on here, that would be good to hear about.
This is great work, Andy.
Thanks.
This is really super.
And then the publications. I had a conversation with Maureen Battistella.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
With regard to, she didn't have anything much more to enlighten, except she added to the newsroom the Tempo and the Rebels, both of those updates.
Okay.
She gave me some understanding of how stuff happens. Everything either comes into the newsroom at news@rosebudmedia. Somehow it funnels in there. And Justin, the
editor
uh-huh. assigns stories. And then she talked about Jeffrey Gillespie, Jim Flynn, and John Darling as freelancers. To perhaps request or contact. Maureen now is doing more food-related. You know, she did some really nice work for us up front, but they've moved her to a different kind of domain to where she resonates a little bit more. Then there's the sneak preview and the Locals Guide and Southern Oregon Magazine and the Grants Pass Daily Courier. If you have any other resources.
You know what I'm not seeing on this list is any social media venues. I'm not sure what to suggest other than I know they're out there. There are art-related social media groups, you know, Facebook and Reddit groups and things like that. So that might be something you should think about.
And absolutely.
Would you be willing to research
I'll take a look and see what I can uncover. Okay. Yeah.
Let's leave Ashland Peeps out of it.
And how about Ashland Peeps Uncensored?
Oh, is that another one?
Oh, that's a thing, yeah.
Oh, okay. Boy, the other one, though, I thought was pretty uncensored.
Media.
It's raging on its own.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
All right, so that's the final thing, is that you'll add social media contacts.
Sure.
And thank you for your update, Richard. Any other comments or additions to this?
Am I the only person that's irritated by the hot spot on Velocity? I don't remember it being
I just
there.
Saw it the other
hot
day.
Spot.
Yes.
Oh, does that mean
they installed it, or either the diffusion of the globe itself is not as thick?
I bet it's because the globe is smaller.
Yeah.
The piece is sitting right up against
it. It's very irritating.
I agree.
I thought it was the same size.
No, it's the same size. And I plan to talk to Mike about it, and I totally forgot, so thank you. So the original spec was 48 inches. Mike believes that he found the source in Chino in California, and their standard was 45, and he said, let's try it for $1,500. And so I see that it's not acceptable.
Sounds like an art emergency to me.
Well, I mean, and I'm not sure an extra, in circumference.
Yeah. It's got to be.
An extra 3-inch, I'm not sure that would solve the problem.
It's got to be, because
the original one was okay.
The original one was okay, and the original one was 48.
But that might be where that huge expense difference was.
Exactly.
Yeah. That, in fact, you get what you pay for.
Is the thickness the same same diffusion characteristics as the original?
It is.
It's got to be the size.
Thank you for remembering that.
Also, the plaque is not there.
He does not want the plaque. We discussed that earlier. He doesn't want his name on it because it's been altered from what he. He did. He said, didn't he say, you guys got to take the plaque off immediately?
While it was down. My understanding was the plaque had to stay off while it was down. But now we've put it back together again. So thank you for that reminder.
But if it's not exactly the same that he made it and it's got a hot spot.
Especially if this hot spot doesn't.
Yeah, he's not going to want to look back up.
When you're on the sidewalk looking up at it, you can see a very hot, way brighter area on the outside of that.
That's why
I saw it, but I didn't notice that.
Okay. Yeah.
So there have been two significant changes to the piece since it was installed.
Yeah, both
the first was exactly. Mm-hmm. So did he object to the first one, or just the when the end
No,
was
I think they approved the truncation of the top.
What are you talking about?
The short end of the top section.
The 12 feet of the back of it got cut off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure if he had an objection with that or if he approved that.
I think you're right. Yes, it was.
Somebody said to me yesterday, I said, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. I've got a public art meeting. He goes, you're on the public arts commission. Are you the guy that's responsible for that eyeball downtown? and I said, eyeball, now it makes sense.
It does look like an eyeball. Yeah.
We were coming back from someplace the other night and driving through the city, and I, looked at it, and I went,
No, I immediately saw, what the hell happened there?
Okay. Interesting. I have not seen it at night.
Okay, I will take care of talking to Mike.
Well,
about that.
It was a worthwhile $1,500 gamble, I say.
Does that mean we might consider redoing that again?
Well, we have to.
It sounds like we have to.
Yeah.
And that may be what, $14,000, $15,000? Wasn't it some huge amount?
No, that all had to do with their
if we went through Gordon,
bringing it to Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, they're bringing it down, down, getting it. Fixing it, bringing it back, ordering, and profit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I suspect it might be more like $5,000 or something to get a, who knows? I mean, it's going to be taking a custom.
I forgot to, and all these things going on. Is there insurance that covers that?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a $10,000 deductible.
Yeah, so in other words, no.
Right. So we had like $7,000 to work with.
Part of it's already been spent on this smaller.
Yeah, that's not the right way to put it.
But part of that's been eaten up by,
Yeah, part of it's been eaten up out of the funds, yeah.
Now, did we get a second one, a second globe replacement?
Well, the first one was cracked. And so.
Oh, so we don't have a backup the same size. It's not going to be useful anyway, so.
All right. Anything else to talk about this morning?
I just wanted to ask, last time you were here, you were talking about working with the Snyder Museum and opening up a pop-up. How's that going?
It's going to be a phenomenal project. Phenomenal. Go to artprize.com. It's a festival in Grand Rapids, Michigan that's been going on for 20 years. And Desert X Oh, yeah. Which is in Palm Desert. And we are going to, we, the Schneider, is going to partner with various entities, including the city, and I've already talked to Kelly about it, to create a pop-up festival. I don't know what I want to call it right now. It's probably going to take maybe 2 years to put it together because it requires a lot of underwriting and a lot of work, but it's going to be phenomenal.
You call it like a biennial.
Well, so both of these other festivals are annuals, but it's going to just take us a while to get the infrastructure
right,
up and
Desert
rolling.
X, yeah.
So
yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mirage part of Desert X? I think it was.
Probably.
Yeah.
Can the Arts Commission be a sponsor of that?
Yeah. I mean, not probably.
Oh.
Well, sure. On,
I think it'd be,
on any
be
number
great
of
PR
books.
For us if we
yeah,
could
yeah.
get our name.
I think that was the original concept when
yeah.
when Scott and I were talking,
right.
that it would be a partnership between the public art slash city and
Schneider.
The Schneider.
Yeah.
And then he expanded his
yeah.
opportunities. So, yeah, so it'll be us, it'll be the film festival, it'll be other organizations in town, and you'll see with Art Prize that while there is a lot of pop-up sculpture, there's also opportunities indoors. They
right.
they put up two-dimensional stuff in cafes and restaurants and so forth. And lots of money is awarded to both the People's Choice and the Juror's Choice. I think it's pretty much all jurored.
Is it like a for like a specific time, like a month or two that it would run, or is it
10 days?
10 days. Uh-huh.
That's what our
so it's a festival.
Down in Desert X, it's a different thing. It's not enclosed in the city. It's out in the desert.
They have one of those in Joshua Tree too every year. That's fantastic.
So you have
and there's artwork way up in the hills,
yeah,
and you
yeah,
have to
exactly.
have a map and
exactly.
kind of hike on these trails to find them.
Yep.
And then you get there, and they're just incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're
that's
kind
exactly
of an extension
it.
Of the original Burning Man themes.
Yeah.
Yeah, except
on a smaller scale.
A little
right.
more cultured, I think, than Burning Man. But, yeah, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Cool.
It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Great.
It's censored.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you very much for all of your input and your patience.
One last thing. Aaron, just about the map vote, will you communicate that to Dale and Historic?
I'll communicate with Maria, who's currently staffing the Historic Commission.
Okay, that PAC
correct.
Voted to approve and it's on the snap on there.
Yep.
And about the Michael Black thing, what do we do about that?
Yeah.
Just let Adam talk to Michael.
Yeah. No, I'd love to do it. Can you text me the
Happy holidays, everybody. Okay. Okay. Safe travels.
But I will come by.
Buen año nuevo.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
That sounds really great, the thing.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I knew that would be
and
right up your alley.
Yeah, it's really interesting. About 2 hours. You said 2 years from now? Is that there?
Who knows? We're going to start planning it after the first of the year. And so, you know, we'll put together a subcommittee of organizations. And since I will soon not be part of this organization, one of the rest of you will have to fill in.
Well, that sounds like a great project. I've been to Denver.
Have you? I'm going to put that on my
table. It's very contemporary.